Today's Mishnah, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is Masechet Kelim, Perek Yud Zayin, and we're up to Mishnah Yud Gimel. Okay, so we've gone through this beautiful, beautiful list of every single shiur that we have in the Gemara. We mentioned what the standards of the shiur are, whether we're talking about a kizayas or a sa'ira or a grogeret or a kibetza or an ama or the various shiurim, legabe chala, and the different measurements or the dinim of the rimonim of the bitul kelim and so on and so forth. A fantastic parak, remember always, parak yud zayin and kelim is all of the dinim of all of the measurements. We get back to the original issue that we've been involved in, and that is what type of tuma is going to be chal on a kli eitz and on a kli etzem and a kli or. Now this enters into this fabulous new area, which is what are the types of things that are included in kli or. We have a klal that anything that comes from the yam is tohar. And that would mean kol shebeyam tohar. That means that anything that is we've actually learned that out because of the same thing that we learned out that's been batal to molavirekam, that it's similar to sak, and just we're talking about beged, eitz, beged, or sak. So just as those things are made from something that is a land thing, because the eitz and the sak and the beged we make out of things that are on the land. So then the or also. And the etzem also is from the land. So how about a seal? So everything that is made from leather, let's say you would have shark skin, right? Shark skin would not be mekabel tuma, despite the fact that it should be a type of leather. It's not mekabel tuma. And the only thing in the yam that would be mekabel tuma is a seal. Why? Because the seal walks on its flippers. And because of that, it basically can run away on the dry land, in which case we do not see it as a fully adapted sea creature. And therefore, it's considered still to be part of the Yabasha. Fascinating. Divrei Rebbe Akiva. And this parak is going to beautifully bring us all the way back to Maisa Bereshis and all of the Sheshis Yimei Bereshis, amazingly, to go through each one of the Yimei Bereshis and to see how the Yimei Bereshis relate to the overall sugya of Tumah V'Taira. And of course, this is very fundamentally part of Das, which is the Seder that we're being Isaac in now. Suppose somebody makes a kli from something that does grow. Let's say, so he has something that's made out of whale skin, and he connects it to something which is a regular kli, and it's Gadol Ba'aretz. Even if it's afilu chut, afilu mishicha, dover shu mekabel Tumah, and he has that thing, even if it's like a small thing, like it may be just like a ribbon or something, right, that he makes out of wool, which is a dover that would be mekabel tumah if it were, the whole kli would be made of it. So then it does become tame because we view it as being all one beged. We had this issue of all one kli before where you have parts that are coming from matechet, the parts that were coming from eitz, and so on. Therefore, continues the next Mishnah so beautifully. Let's go through Sheshes Yimei Bereshis. Yesh b'masha nivra b'yom harishon tuma. There is tuma on things that were made on day one of Maaseh Bereshis. Why? Because there's tuma on Kli Cheres, and Kli Cheres is Shamayim V'aretz. It's made out of the minerals, the earth that was created on day one. So there we do have tuma. But of anything that was made on day two, there is no tumah, because we do not have any tumah from the Shammai. Ev, things that were made on the third day. Yes, there's definitely tumah. We talked about eitz and all of the different types of reeds and so on and so forth. Those were all things that were nivra on shlishi. Everything on revi, anything that was made on the fourth day. So if you make earthenware out of an asteroid, it would not become tumah. And therefore, asteroid mining is very profitable because all of the people that want to use clay matechet that is not mekabel tumah, there's going to be a very big market on that quite soon. So they will pay extra for any iron that was mined on asteroids and so on. because we do not have tuma on anything that would be included in the sun, moon, stars, heavenly bodies, and so on. I'm assuming that we would assume that asteroids are considered to be bottle to the solar system as a whole. On the fifth day, we have birds. We said there's no tuma on birds. There's no tuma on the yam, on things that were in the fish. And all of those things are tahar. And this apparently is not going on Liba de Rabbi Akiva, because we're assuming that seals are essentially going to be considered to be like the Tanakama holds. They're considered to be yam creatures. Except for one thing. And that was the knaf of the Oznia and the Beitzah HaNa'amit. Now, the knaf of an Oznia. What is an Oznia? An Oznia is an osprey. And for some reason, we're going to treat the feathers of the osprey differently than anything else. And that, since it's similar to Etzem, is considered to be tummy. Now, there is very bad news from this din to all of you who are planning on doing asteroid mining. Why? Because you may not be aware of the fact that the one place that is under consideration for the landing on asteroid Bennu to bring back samples to Earth by NASA is the location, believe it or not, that is called Osprey. And if you don't believe me, this just came out. So it was the covered hour Mishnah. Look it up and see if I'm not right. So since Bennu is the name of this Egyptian goddess of birds, like a bird figure, so they named the landing sites on Bennu after various birds. And of all crazy things, they've decided that the place where it's best to land would be Osprey. It just puts me out of the yard. Come on, guys. Let me at least say the only one who's smiling here is Ari, because he enjoys all of this kind of astronomical stuff. Everybody should be smiling. This is absolutely amazing. Okay. So we shouldn't speak too fast about asteroid mining, because apparently Kfar Kadmucha Rabbanan, even for this. Oh, my God. All right. Now, the other thing, which should also very much interest our Joburg crowd, is ostrich eggs. Now, as you know, there was a nice market in ostrich eggs, and one of the favorite things to do with an ostrich egg is turn it into a lamp, which is a little tricky, but you get a bulb in there, and then you put the bulb in, and it looks really, really interesting coming out of the shell of the ostrich. Now, since those things were so commonly used as kalim, so the Rabbonim made a takana that if you coat the shell of an ostrich egg, you spray it with some type of material that strengthens it and so on, so even though it comes from a bird, min Rabbonim, we are gozer tuma, which means that we may end up putting a lot of money into an ostrich farm, as so many Jews did, and it'll end up becoming tame anyway, and a lot of money into asteroid mining, and the Rabbonim already ossered all the stuff from there because of the ostrich. Amr Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, come on, I don't understand what you're saying. Manishtana knafa oz mikola knafayim. There's absolutely no different to view the osprey as being different than anything else. So if there's a gezera that feathers going to be mistaken for bone and it's similar to klei etzem, so then the klei etzem would be chal on anything. Anyway, getting back to sheshes yimei bereshis. So what about the sixth day? We haven't talked about the sixth day. Everything that was made on the sixth day, all the different animals, humans over there, you do have tuma that is very nogea, yom hashishi. Now, when we're talking about kalim, you should know that a kli, as long as it's a kli kibbol, this is one of the things we need to talk about, is what about paper? We've got today, we have a lot of paper, paper cups and paper plates and so on. What would be the din of paper? So if you make a kli kibbol, even if it's a tiny kli kibbol, I don't care how much it holds. The idea over here is a kli can become tummy if it has a clay kibbol, as opposed to, by the way, we're only talking about over here, what we're dealing with in our perek, which is kli etzem and kli or and so on. We did have shiurim, minimal shiurim, of the size of a kli cheres, remember. That was way back in the second perek. But over here, we're not talking about kli cheres, we're talking about all the other kalim. And not only that, but if you have even a small area of Mishkav u'Moshav, if it's something that is meant for the Zov to be sitting on, it could be Tameh Bitumas Midras. And of course, we have a general klal. Anything which is Tameh Bitumas Midras is going to be Mekabel other Tumah as well. Furthermore, it does not make a difference of how strong the kli is. So let's say you make a cup out of even or matzah, or even from paper, miniyar. It still is tummy. So that if you have or matzah is basically unprocessed skin, so it's not, has not become hardened by tanning, it's easy to tear it. Well, paper is also easy to tear, but lamaisa, a kli kibo, like a kis or a cup, is going to be tummy. And not only that, but remember that we have the concept of da'at. Now, the issue is, what happens if a child who does not have da'at makes a kli? And over there, you've got children who, because they were before the days of Fisher-Price, they were creative all on their own. They would make themselves Fisher-Price kitchens before Fisher-Price existed. And what you would do would be you would take like a pomegranate or an acorn or a nut, and then you would hollow it out, and then that would become your dish set, you know, or maybe you would make a little toy scale out of it. So all of those things, of course, you don't have food to measure, but you have your mud pie. So the kids would make it lamud behemet afar. I mean, I got to put in exactly one nutful of mud into my pie in order for it to be properly tasty. You got to weigh it because sometimes, you know, it goes according to how many grams. So they made it for a kaf muznaim. Even though it's made by kids, it is mekabel tumah. So you'll say, but how could it be mekabel tumah if they don't have the das to be meyachidit for a kli? And that's because yesh lehem ma'aseh, an act where the child acts out on a thought and it becomes part of the nature of connection to the world as it is ipso facto the equivalent of das, because it's a thought that has been translated into matter. And because of that, What have you got over there? Daniel is showing us a kli made by a child. A little messy, but nonetheless good enough to be das. Okay, very good. Excellent. There would be maisa, even though they would not have machshava all on their own. And there, if he would find, let's say, he would find an emptied out gourd or something like that, then it doesn't become a kli. It's only because he set out to make it. That and only that is what makes it be a kli to be mekabel tumah. Now, there's another very important type of kli that we never talked about, and that is hidden containers. Now, because we're talking to Jews over here, Jews have a massive list of ways to cheat on taxes and to get away with murder and so on. So they figured out all kinds of kalim, where the kli itself is a trick, and there's another base kibble somewhere else that is not evident when you open up the suitcase. Aha. Now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says at the end of the Mishnah, I was never sure that I should say this Mishnah, because people are going to learn too much that they shouldn't be knowing about. But what can you do? If I don't say the Mishnah, then people will think that we were naive and never addressed all of these fake-out kalim. So these are all kalim for the purpose of Rama'ut, okay? So one favorite way of Rama'ut was making a very sensitive balance for your makolet. And and it had the normal kaf mosnayim, and everything was great, except for one thing, you see. It had in the top, which is the beam, it had a little wire that stuck out, and if you move the wire, you would move a little piece of metal that was in the beam, either to the right or the left of center, which could allow you to make something weigh less or weigh more, depending on how you unobtrusively moved the wire. Okay, that's the end of fair weights and measures, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. I knew I shouldn't have said it. But anyway, that was one favorite thing. There was another thing that used the same fascinating idea, which was a machok. Remember that the machok, when you weight something, you would have like a little scraper that would go over the top to make sure that it was completely flat and there wasn't too much in, but there wasn't too much that was taken out from the inside, and it was perfectly machuk. Now, the machuk also, there were some machuks that had a movable wire attached to a metal weight in the handle so that it would look like a typical machuk, but it would actually weigh down a little bit too much when the storekeeper wanted to use it, or too little if the person selling wanted to, was trying to get the storekeeper to buy. So over there, it would have a weight that would make it go deeper into the flour, let's say, and take off a little bit more flour than would normally be taken off. And it looked like it was all legal. So if you have a k'nei moznayim or a machok that has a hidden beit kibul for a sliding piece of metal, or what about an esel, sheyesh bo kibul ma'ot? How about the little pole that you use just to carry things around your shoulder? So what you would want to do, I mean, the case that the Mefarshim bring is that a po'el would have a secret compartment where when he was paid, you'd have like, you know, 15 people standing in line to get their salary. They'd give him his salary. He would take the coins and he would hide it in a hidden compartment in his pole. And then he would stand back in line again and the guy would say, "Didn't I just pay you?" "No, sir. No, I don't have any." "What are you talking about, man? Empty your pockets. I'm sure I paid you. You're trying to cheat me. You didn't empty his pockets." Now, this was also something that was used, again, as our South Africans will know, by diamond miners, right? So they would strip them, check their pockets, tear them to pieces, make sure they're not coming out with any diamonds. But little would they know that there was a hidden compartment. Yep. And so this is very useful for making off with what you're working on. Or how about a kanesh el ani sheyesh bo beit kibul mayim? Now, this is a really bad one. So a guy who's trying to get sympathy and he's moaning and groaning, he has no money. "Help the poor man. And I haven't had anything to drink in a couple of days. I'm in such a tightness." Of course, he's got a hidden, really beautiful Coca-Cola bottle inside of his little cane, right? So every time nobody's looking, he holds the cane up to his mouth. He takes another sip of Coca-Cola. This guy's doing good. It even has a refrigerated compartment, a battery. And the guy is really excellent. He makes a lot of money like this. So, and how about a makel? You've got a stick that's got a place for putting in a mezuzah. This is crazy. Putting in a mezuzah and for smuggling diamonds. So when they open it up in Mechas, you know, like the guys who smuggle diamonds in their tefillin. "No, these are my tefillin." So this guy says, "I carry around this mezuzah to protect me, you know, listen. Even my car's got a mezuzah, so my walking cane's got a mezuzah too." So they open up this thing. They don't take out the mezuzah to see whether he's got diamonds under the mezuzah. This is really wild stuff, right? So it's got a place for both mezuzah and for hidden pearls. All of these things are considered to be tmeim, because even though lemaisa, they look like kalim that are pshutei kliyeitz, they are really very sneaky beis kibul. The Al Kulam Amar Reb Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Reb Yochanan, when he would teach these halachas, would say, "Oy vavoy, oy leim omar, I'm in big trouble if I say this Mishnah because people are going to get too many bright ideas. But oy leim lo omar, if I don't, so then that will encourage them to believe that the Talmidei Chachamim are unaware of the facts of life, and that'll be makshil them. So it's better, you know, ki yisharim darkei Hashem. Poshim yikashlubam, let the poshim be yikashlubam, but the yesharim will learn them properly." Okay, this was a lot of fun. Hope I didn't give anybody the wrong ideas. Have a great day. Kol tov, everyone.